Program guests and Craig Roberts not affiliated with Vitucci & Associates. Information provided for illustrative purposes only. Does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Vitucci & Associates have no liability for information discussed. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Vitucci & Associates and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.
The views and opinions expressed are based on current economic and market conditions and are subject to change. All investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal.
Pat Vitucci says, don't invest and forget. Invest and forget. Invest and forget.
Welcome to Don't Invest and Forget, a weekly financial news magazine designed to educate and equip you with the roadmap and direction you need to manage your money, meet your financial goals, and instill confidence in your investment choices on the road to retirement. Your host is author, radio commentator, and investment advisor, Pat Vitucci of Vitucci & Associates. With over 30 years' experience in the world of finance and investment planning, Pat specializes in personal and corporate investment management, with special emphasis on retirement planning.
Despite turmoil in the banking sector, the Fed continues its fight against inflation with yet another rate hike, as inflationary fears overseas cause both Switzerland and England to raise their own interest rates. And Ford's EV business lost over $2 billion in 2022. What does that signal for the future of the electric car industry? Welcome once again to this edition of Don't Invest and Forget, the program that each and every week helps you keep your finger on the pulse of your money from Wall Street to Main Street to your wallet. Your host, 30-plus year financial manager and author, Pat Vitucci, along with our own Don't Invest and Forget man on the street, Charlie Coain, and I'm Craig Roberts. Well, the Fed's decision, raising short-term interest rates, continuing to signal we've got some problems in the road ahead related to inflation. And Pat, of course, this now means we're seeing the overnight rate at the highest it's been in some 16 years. I have to wonder, that coupled with some of the challenges we're seeing with banks like First Republic, Silicon Valley, and Signature Bank, is all this going to eventually lead to tighter credit conditions?
Well, there's certainly no shortage of anxiety for all of us as we watch the top story on the 6 o'clock news. It kind of shakes you right to the core. We've got real foundational issues when these giant banks, Credit Suisse and Silicon Valley Bank and others, are in fairly fragile condition. You know, this country was kind of founded on the soundness of the banking system. You know, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, these are the stalwarts, kind of the too big to fail banks. And when we get this kind of fragile nature, it kind of gives us all pause to understand what's the future of our little pocket of money, and how does our relationship with this economy and the economic system that's going through this fairly large shakeup, what does that do to my ability to retire, stay retired, or maybe retire someday? And despite the Fed chairman's comments this week, the U.S. banking system is sound and resilient in their two-day meeting reporting to Congress. A lot of us don't feel that the system is sound and resilient. And it kind of gives us pause to say, wait a minute, let me take another further look. Let me drill down and see, what's my exposure? Do I have more than $250,000 in any one bank account? And how sound is my bank over there on the corner? It's been there for many, many years. And when you see the 189-year-old Credit Suisse Bank being given away to UBS for only $3 billion, when a month before it was worth something in the neighborhood of $12 billion, what bank can we really declare as sound and resilient? And so it gives us, unfortunately, time to get more anxious about where our money is parked. It's a wonderful opportunity to take all your statements out and kind of look at, what is your exposure to the financial systems, and where exactly and what sectors is your money invested in? We've had this theme of don't invest and forget. Wow, it puts a big punctuation mark on that whole idea of really clearly understanding what's your exposure. Again, as Craig said in the opening comments, another quarter point rise, the ninth in the last year. What is that going to do to the real estate market? And we've seen all the numbers come tumbling down. There's no supply of real estate out there. We were enjoying 2 to 3% mortgage rates a year ago, and they're now pushing 7. That clearly puts an end to any activity in the real estate market. I've got some very close friends. I've asked them, how's the market doing? And their answer is crickets. It's just nothing is happening. So there's a big concern about this economy. And again, the whole theme of the Federal Reserve is to slow inflation down, increase unemployment. That part of it has failed. Unemployment still remains record low. It's something in the 3.4% range.
So what if the Fed lowers the rate? If they keep raising there, it doesn't seem to work very well. The mortgage rates go up. The rates for a car loan go up. Everything seems to go up. Why don't they try lowering the interest rate? Would that help? I don't know.
Well, the core issue is inflation. The whole idea is to slow everything down. They're going to succeed beyond their wildest imaginations. Now, real estate is kind of the front-running sector that always is affected first. But you're right. Car loans, how much you use your Visa card. I mean, Visa rates are 20-plus percent from last I saw, and as much as 30%. So if you're being affected by inflation with higher costs, higher food costs, higher fuel costs, and you're dipping into your Visa card more and more, there's severe penalties for using that card in the way of extremely high interest rates. They used to be called usury rates 10, 15 years ago, and now they're fairly common. I mean, it used to be 7, 8% interest rates on Visa cards, and now they're 20-plus percent. So it's an issue. Lots of controversy over whether the Federal Reserve chairman is spot on or he's got his hand in the sand. We've got some politicians being very vocal about he's doing it all wrong. He's been too late to the party. As long as President Biden keeps him in that spot, we're going to keep going down this road. And again, if inflation gets out of control, Charlie, we'll look like some of these third world countries that have 20, 30, 40% inflation. And then it's out of control, and your dollar is worth even less than we think it is.
So the idea is to make sure that the prices are going up on everything so that people will buy less. All the interest rates for loans and box of Wheaties, the gasoline prices certainly aren't going down.
Gross domestic product, 66% of GDP is driven by consumers. So you and I and the rest of us are driving the economy, largely speaking. The idea is to get the consumer to spend less, and goods and services will be more imbalanced in terms of supply and demand. It's a very proven system many, many times over. Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan and all the former Fed Reserve chairmen have gone through this exercise. The cyclicality of the economy cannot be ignored. You drill down and look at the basic elements of the economy. But there was an interesting article this week. Women aren't investing at the same rate as men, and here's why the gap. This is a troubling trend because women live longer, and historically their Social Security checks are smaller because they either were later to the labor market or interrupted for childcare, or historically, women stay home to take care of mom and dad on a more regular basis than men do. And so their Social Security checks tend to be smaller. And so if women aren't investing at the same rate, looming down the road is this serious issue of significantly less cash flow for surviving women. And so I want to point out that it really is important that women pay particular attention to the portfolio design, yet really overly involved. Historically, they've been sitting in the bleachers and just kind of watching from afar. And I want to encourage women to get much more involved. We have had significant turnout for a seminar where we focus specifically on women. And so we're probably going to be doing that again in the next month or two. Women in Investing is always a popular seminar that we have introduced. It's very well received. So stay tuned in the future for our next Women in Investing seminar. But it is critically important that women get re-involved, and closing that gap between males and females and their interest in something that probably not their primary reason for getting up in the morning, but we think it's real, real important. going to follow this banking crisis? Is it going to cause a recession, or are we already in a recession? You kind of don't know until months later when we look back at the data and try and understand. And of course, the Federal Reserve is trying to orchestrate this soft landing, try not to put us into a recession. I don't think we are in one. We still have fairly good profits from major companies. The price of gasoline is kind of leveled off. Yes, it's a lot higher than it was a year ago, but we're not into that rampant 10, 20 cents a gallon every other month increase. What does that do to your economy? What does that do to your personal portfolio? And that's where we think it's real important to meet with our clients on a regular basis, which we do. Folks who are listening to the show come in for a second opinion. It's amazing how we have found folks who come in have not looked at their portfolio design, have not made reallocations, have not shifted from one area of the economy to another area of the economy. 2023 is very unlike 2022, and that's historically what happens year over year, many times quarter over quarter. Where you are invested needs significant readjustment, reallocation. And failure to do that, you're assuming, well, this year is going to be pretty much like last year. Almost always, that's hardly ever the truth. And so where you were invested in 22, those sectors may have performed well. And you certainly don't want to look and be a rear view mirror investor saying, well, this fund did great in 22. That's where I'm going to put all my money. We call that rear view mirror investing, and that's intimating projections for next quarter or two in 23 are going to be exactly like what we had in 22. It's hardly ever the case. And so this cyclicality of the economy and where we are in the cycle is driven by your participation in a specific sector. Will we have some more rate increases? Maybe one or two more. And then maybe by the end of the year, we'll begin to see rate decreases. And so we've got to look at the possibility of the second half of the year being a very different investing environment with declining rates. We've got to watch that carefully. But I want to underscore today to encourage our listeners to go to their bottom drawer where they keep all their statements, mutual funds, annuities, whatever you have, even bank statements. What is your bank paying? CD rates have come up measurably. And so if you're sitting in a money market fund or a checking account, it really is time to take a look at what's your allocation today, the productivity of your monies today and where they're placed can be very, very different from where you were 3, 6, 9, 12 months ago. Joining me in studio today, C.J. Davison, founder and CEO of Proxy Financial. C.J., we're going through evolutionary thoughts when you get into the basic banking system and curve being thrown at us with all these big names and Credit Suisse and Silicon Valley Bank. Does that kind of make you a little anxious about this economy? What are your thoughts about this crazy market that we're looking at?
I love Charlie's question a minute ago about, well, you know, we keep raising interest rates and people keep hating it. Why do we keep doing that? We're banging our head against the wall thinking something else is going to happen. What the definition of insanity, right? Keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different result. I look at it more of a common sense thing. If you take a step back and you don't get into the minutia of everything going on and you just take a look at what has happened over the last few years, it is very difficult for the average consumer to take a step back and say, I've just gone through the pandemic. You know, I've been very tight with my grocery shopping and I haven't gone anywhere and seen anyone or experienced things that I usually experience to keep me happy throughout the year. And you're going to now tell me through complex financial jargon that with the pandemic over, I should now not do that still? I shouldn't go out and spend money that I haven't spent for multiple years? I mean, it's easier when it's your health and you say, come on, stay home. Maybe don't go on vacation this year. But now it's very different. And to ask the average consumer to say, let's skip the vacation this year because I'm worried about inflation eroding our ability to purchase groceries is ridiculous. And I think that's where it's really difficult. I do find it, we're doing a lot of reviews right now, right? Everybody's calling us and saying, I have more than $250,000 in cash in my bank account. What do I do with it, right? And more we're having these conversations with people. And The way we budget for a lot of our households is we not only talk about what you need, right? Here are the things that pay the bills, that send the kids to school, that make sure that the household and the lifestyle runs consistently. And here are the wants. Here are the things that I want to do with my money. Here are the things that I'm saving for. In that little want category, when our clients can, we carve out a little vacation fund, right? We always set a little bit aside and we say, this money is going to be used to do X, Y, and Z throughout the year as a vacation or as a, we like to do this together as a couple or a family or an individual, so on and so forth. And for our clients, a lot of them that have planned with us, when we haven't been able to use that little budget for the last couple of years, we haven't been able to send you on the cruise, we haven't been able to have you go visit the grandkids for a month and spoil them, and we have that little chunk of money that built up, that's actually our inflation buffer right now, right? So our clients can continue to go on that vacation because if they had $10,000 a year set aside for 4 years and they haven't used 3 years of it, then going on vacation and spending 10 grand and still having that 30 grand to absorb some of this volatility and some of this cost increase, which is real. Credit cards, Pat, that you were saying in the opening segment, are a huge thing. That is under the surface. People don't read their small print. They don't read the fluctuation in that, and they just pay the amount that they pay at the end of every month. But they don't know that less and less of that amount that they pay is actually going towards paying down their balance. It's the one of the hidden little devils in our system right now. So I'm a macro person as much as I can be. I'm a common sense person first. Does this make sense? Why is this happening big picture? And I can't, in my right mind, think of any table conversation that's putting the inflation worries in our economy ahead of, we haven't been to Disneyland with the kids in 3 years. We need to get them out of the house and make sure they enjoy this summer.
And so here we are, faced with all these inflationary issues, and it's tax time. Uncle Sam still wants his piece of the action despite all the other issues around us.
As if nothing's changed.
Like nothing's changed. So the IRS is pretty relentless. They're not going to say, well, you know, we understand you're going through bad inflation and you're paying more for fuel and your Visa card is more expensive, yada, yada, yada. All that aside, give me my share of what you earned, right?
Right. And think about the job that's deriving that income. We're talking about 3.4% unemployment. That looks great on its face, right? But in California, all we're seeing is people getting laid off in tech jobs and people picking up second Uber jobs. That's not an equivalent salary. That's not an equivalent way of earning wealth, right? Just because someone remains employed and is not looking for work doesn't mean they're not driving the same outcome for their household.
How about the retiree that's been on a fixed income? Charlie says the price of cereal is higher and fuel is higher and my PG&E bill is higher. My pension doesn't have a COLA. And even though I got a big Social Security increase, it doesn't nearly cover the price of eggs and et cetera, et cetera.
I wanted you to say it, not me, but that's the most important one, right? I'm 40 years old. I have some time to make up for what's going on in this economy right now. But those living on fixed income, I sat down with a family member yesterday and was, for the first time in a long time, tell me exactly how much money you're getting every month. How much do you have in your emergency fund? What are your bills? How have your bills changed in the last year? I'm checking in myself, right? Like, I need to know that the people that have accounted for a $6,000 a month budget are now still experiencing the same lifestyle that they accounted for.
The $6,000 doesn't go as far as it did a year ago.
Not
right?
In California.
And so you're seeing a lot of migration, as we all have read, out of California into, fill in the blank, Nevada, Florida, Costa Rica, Portugal. Some people taking some pretty radical steps, which sometimes you have to.
Yeah. We talked about this last time, and we got a lot of feedback over the last couple of weeks. I've talked a lot about people putting their home as the center of their financial plan in the last couple of weeks. It's real.
If you've got a lot of equity in those expensive 2x4s, and you trade those expensive 2x4s for Florida 2x4s, and you free up 500,000, a million, whatever, that's another opportunity to tap into for cash flow. It's all about cash flow.
You've been listening to Don't Invest and Forget with author and investment advisor, Pat Fitucci. To gain more information about any of the topics discussed on today's program, or to schedule your appointment for a no-obligation financial plan tune-up in one of Bay Area offices of Fitucci & Associates near you, go to don'tinvestandforget.com. That's don'tinvestandforget.com. Or call toll-free 888-PLAN-WISE. That's 888-PLAN-WISE. Or visit don'tinvestandforget.com.
Program guests and Craig Roberts not affiliated with Vitucci & Associates. Information provided for illustrative purposes only. Does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Vitucci & Associates have no liability for information discussed. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC, Vitucci & Associates, and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.